One other generalization, and then we'll comment on your specifics here. I spend a good bit of my time counseling marriages who have trouble. And I might just give you an example of one that hit not so long ago. Tony came in, and I listened to Tony and his side of the story, and I said, Tony, look, fella, why don't you just sit down and talk to your little gal? And, oh, Doc, he said, I couldn't talk to her. The minute I start to talk to her about things like this, she starts to bawl, or she throws her hands up and runs out of the room. Well, I talked to Mary, and I said, look, Mary, it seems like you're having a hard time getting together on this. Why don't you just some nice night after a good supper, you know, and two beers, you sit down and start to talk to Tony. Oh, she said, Doc, I can't talk to him. The minute we start to talk about anything like this, why, he gets up and grumps and leaves the room or buries himself in his paper or just starts to fight with me. He says, we can't talk. So what are these two doing? Well, they're going to a marriage counselor. Now, what does he do? He sits between them, and Mary tells the marriage counselor, with Tony listening, what's wrong with their life together, and because he's laying out so darn much money, he listens now. Tony then tells the marriage counselor his problems, and Mary has to listen. And for the first time in their life, they're beginning to communicate. Now understand, I tell this story because it's utterly typical. They're not all quite this rigid, but marriage problems exist because we do not talk to each other. We cannot communicate in marriage about all of the important things that exist between us. Now, why and what's the story here? You say, well, we'll be able to talk. Heavens, that's half of what we do now when we're together. And this is true, and you're in a time of life when you begin to learn to communicate. You see, you really never could talk much with your parents. You couldn't, unless you had a close, say you're a girl and you've got a close sister a year apart from you or something, you can be buddy buddies with her or some close friend, or you over at the Y or the boys club or wherever, you've got some guy that you share your problems with. But this is not quite the sort of relationship that you bear boy to girl, young man to woman. Now you begin to communicate on a different level. You begin to, you know, you meet each other, and you think this guy's great, and you think that gal's just as slick as chicks come, and you begin to like each other, you begin to spend time together, you begin to talk together. Now, if your relationship ripens into, let's say, a courtship with maybe marriage in mind ultimately, then what do? You spend more time together, you talk about all the things of life, you talked a lot about this election, you talk about children, you talk about careers and education and money and family and religion and all of these things. And what you're doing is learning to know the other, because this you must know if you're going to choose a lifetime partner. But you're doing something else that's awfully important. You're setting up a pattern, a habit pattern of sharing your life with hers, your life with his. And this becomes a pattern of living. Now, it's a very simple fact that a fella can't talk to a girl when he's kissing her. Your mouth is occupied. All right? And so it goes with intimate sexuality. Now, there's a place for kissing and embracing. And we sincerely mean this. On the other hand, it too is a form of communication. This is a form of physical communication. But if you suddenly get involved in a good bit of deeper necking, of petting, and further, then you quit talking. You stop communicating verbally. You break that pattern of sharing on an intellectual and all other spheres, and you begin to get caught up in this fascinating business of learning about the other person's body and physical reactions. Now, many people get to this body business early in the game. They've never really learned the other kind of sharing, and swept up in the passion of this bodily involvement, get caught into marriage. And things burn pretty bright for a while. But this is like that house built on sand. And when this marriage is built on very little except the sexual force that swept you into it, Then you wake up some morning and you look across the breakfast table at somebody you really don't know. And strange to say, some marriages have this hit them at the 25th year, when the last child leaves home. And now, with an empty nest, that woman lonely sits there, not really knowing who this man is she's married. And the tragedy of that one and the earlier upsets is that we harden into a mold and we're no longer really able to begin to share our lives. We must learn to share our lives intellectually, spiritually, verbally, on every level except intimate sex. That has its place, that for the security of marriage. If you get into it too soon, it's liable to spoil all the rest.